السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile. Myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And indeed, it's an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be speaking about the great scholars of our country. And when you joined with one, it's a double honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have on the line with us this evening, Mawlana Ahmad Muhammadi, the Amir of the Jamiatul Ulama, the KZN. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana.
Mawlana, jazakallah for your time this evening. Today we profile and we speak about a great personality, someone I always held in great esteem, the like of Mawlana Abdul Haq Umarji rahmatullahi alayhi, who's your uncle. And we will be, inshallah, discussing his life for just under an hour, inshallah. Mawlana, we just like to start at the beginning. Perhaps you can give us a brief family background into the life of Mawlana.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to the listeners of Radio Islam. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Ismail Umarji rahmatullah alayhi was really an institution in himself. And Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi was born on the 12th of October 1925 in the town of Amzinto. It is just a coincidence that many great people have also been born in this town. People like the likes of Haji Bhai Padia, rahmatullah alayhi, well known throughout the world. Then our Chota Mota Desai from Da'watul Haq Madrasas, well known also throughout the country. Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi was born and in 1925, and within a short period of about 6 or 7 years, he had lost his mother. And he basically grew up without a mother. And those days were quite difficult. There were 9 children that his mother, that had survived his mother. And Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali's father, Ismail Mahmood Umarji, who had come from India, from the village of Kator, had settled in Durban. He initially raised these children, helped to raise his children. And his children were in age ranging from 12 downwards. Maulana was the 7th child of his mother. And in those days, TB was a major issue, and many people, you know, lost their lives to this illness. So those were difficult years because Maulana Umarji rahmatullah alayhi grew up in where there was no maternal figure as such.
Yeah. Maulana, subsequent to that, as Maulana would grow up in this difficult time, where would Maulana then start off his initial career of studies?
Okay, Maulana was named Abdul Haq after his father's ustad by the name of Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarawi rahmatullah alayhi. That was also his father's mentor initially. Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarawi was a very great alim, who had established one of the first Darul Ulooms in Gujarat in India. And subsequently this institution had closed down. But his father always remembered the Ustad and named his child Abdul Haq. When Maulana was growing up, there's an incident that I recall quite clearly. When Maulana was growing up, he used to mention that his father used to work during the day. And when he used to come home in the evening, then very often his father used to actually prepare the food, cook the food, prepare the food, and feed all his children, and at the very end he used to eat.
Allah. His father, Allah.
And his father later on in life took bayat to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah Ali, who we call Hakim al-Ummah, as he is widely known. At the tender age of 10, his father decided to send him to India for higher Islamic education. And at that time it was something unknown, especially in the merchant community or the business community, that a child is sent to become an alim. Generally it was people from poorer backgrounds, etc., who were sent overseas to become ulama, etc., and that was very few that were sent as well. Nonetheless, when Maulana's father had made up his mind to send this 10-year-old to India, many business people came to his father, appealing to his father that do not send your son to India to become an alim. If he becomes an alim, what will his future really be? He may end up receiving zakat money to survive. But despite this negativity and this appeal to his father, Maulana's father had made the decision that this child is going to go to India to study. At that time, obviously, there were no institutions available within our country. So at that tender age, around 1935, Maulana was put onto the boat and he was sent to India. When he reached India, he went to Jamia Husseiniya in Randair, where he gained his elementary Islamic education. And he spent approximately 4 to 5 years here in Randair, studying here the basic Islamic kitabs. And he also became a hafiz of the Holy Quran in Randair, Jamia Husseiniya in Randair. After qualifying in Randair with his initial studies, elementary studies, Maulana subsequently proceeded to the famous institution, the Ummul Madaris, as we call it, Darul Ulum Deoband. And he may have enrolled here around 1939 or 1940, and he spent almost a decade in Darul Ulum Deoband.
This must have been in the glory days of the Darul Ulum, Maulana.
Certainly, Maulana, you know, was so fortunate that he sat at the illustrious feet of those greats of Darul Ulum Deoband. And among his asatiza, who he used to fondly mention, we can remember a few. He used to mention Maulana Azaz Ali Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Ibrahim Balyalvi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Fakhruddin Saab Rahmatullah Ali, then Maulana Qadi Muhammad Tayyab Saab Rahmatullah Ali, who was also the principal of Darul Ulum Deoband for almost 50 years. And the cherry on the top, so to say, was none other than Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali, who was not only the ustad of Bukhari Sharif of Hazrat Maulana Umarji Saab, but also his Shaykh and Murshid. And he gained a very, very close attachment to Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. In fact, Maulana Madani was so fond of him and another South African student from the Transvaal region at that time, Maulana Bayezid Pandor Rahmatullah Ali. And these two classmates were also sometimes the Qari in the Bukhari Sharif class. After Maulana graduated from Darul Ulum Deoband in 1950, he decided to stay on the advice of his Shaykh, Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani. He decided to stay in the khidmat of Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali and even served him as a special khadim, a khadim khas of Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali. And it is quite noteworthy that in the 15 years that he spent in India, he did not come home a single time in those 15 years. So he literally became baligh while overseas, perhaps. And whenever he used to speak, there was hardly a time that he shouldn't speak about the Indo-Pak, especially because of his close attachment to India and having spent most of his childhood in India as well.
Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji Rahmatullahi Alayhi and Maulana Ahmad Ali, who is the... Maulana, sorry for that. I think the phone just cut. It's a cell phone line this evening. So Maulana, after the Maulana was in the khidmat of Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahimahullah for a period of couple of years, what did Maulana do subsequent to that, Maulana?
In 1951, he returned to South Africa after that full 15 years. And he had to be coerced to return to South Africa. I think his heart was set in India, in Hindustan. And his father appealed to him that he has to come back to South Africa. He needs to get married. When Maulana was returning, I heard this personally from him, that when he was returning to India, or to South Africa, then obviously he had the special dua of Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali and all those other great asatiza of his. There were four du'as that he made in particular. And he said, and he mentioned that three of those du'as were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be some wisdom in it as well. The first du'a that he made was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must cool his temper. Hazrat Maulana was a very jalali person by nature. a physical description we omitted, which we should mention. Hazrat Maulana was a very handsome person, a person with a very, very beautiful physique, a very fair person, a person who was very radiant, very nurani, you know, presence he had. And he used to always keep zulfa. That was his habit even till the end of his life, that he used to keep long hair, very well groomed, oiled long hair. And when Darul Uloom Deoband, perhaps came under some threat while World War II, was taking place, obviously Hazrat Maulana looked through World War II in India, and he also looked through the partition period of India and Pakistan. And when there was some threat to Darul Uloom Deoband, then there was an appeal made for volunteers to defend Darul Uloom Deoband. And he mentioned to us that my name was the first name on the list, right at the top. Akbar. To defend Darul Uloom Deoband with my life. This was his love for his madrasa. And many of his asatiza used to tell him that you've come to the wrong place. You needed to go to a military academy like Sandringham to learn military skill. This was the Jalali nature of Hazrat Maulana. And when he made this dua on his return trip, that, oh Allah, cool my temper down. Oh Allah, give me a very moderate temper so that I may be able to work with the people and with the communities that I'm going to. The second dua that he made was that when Hajj becomes fard on me, oh Allah, take me for Hajj that very same year and do not let me delay in going for Hajj. And the third dua he made, that, oh Allah, do not let me ever take or give a cent of riba in my entire life. And the fourth dua he made, that, oh Allah, give me istighna and make me independent from people and from your creation. He says that the first three duas were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where I became very cool and moderate in my nature and in my temper. Then I went for Hajj immediately when I came to South Africa. That very same year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took me for Hajj as well. He says, never in my life have I taken or given a cent of riba or interest. Allah. And the fourth dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some reason did not accept that, oh Allah, give me total independence from people. As Maulana mentioned to us that later in his life when he became sick, then he had to also extend his hand and take loans from friends and family members. So he says, Allah in his wisdom did not accept the fourth dua. Nonetheless, when he came back to South Africa, there were two in Durban, where he was located, where his father was living. There were two famous masajids. One is the Grey Street Jumu'ah Masjid, which was at one time the largest masjid in the Southern Hemisphere. And obviously the other masjid is the West Street Anjuman Masjid. So there was a vacancy for an imam in the West Street Masjid. And Hazrat Maulana offered to become the imam of the masjid, but one condition, that he will serve fi sabilillah, he will serve with no salary. And alhamdulillah, he served as the imam of the West Street Masjid for a period of 2 years without taking any salary, etc. Hazrat Maulana was one of those very fortunate ulama that he was not dependent on any trust board, he was not dependent on anybody for his salary. He was working for his father in his father's business. So alhamdulillah, from a financial point of view, he had total independence. And this gave him a lot of freedom to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to speak freely, to bring about changes, as he was not obligated to any person. He mentioned that every weekend of his was spent in the khidmat of deen. Day and night he toiled in the path of Allah. A weekend generally he was called out to give bayans throughout Natal. And the length and breadth of the province of Natal, he used to travel to give bayans, especially on weekends. And this was his way of serving the communities that he had come into. He hadn't been in South Africa for almost 15 years. So there was a big gap from the time he left till the time he came back. In fact, his arrival in South Africa changed the entire landscape of deen in Natal and the ulama fraternity, especially in Natal, and also we can say in South Africa as well. Hazrat Maulana's business used to be known as Umarji Brothers, which is to trade in Grey Street. And during the day, his shop used to serve as the meeting point of the ulama, the very few ulama In fact, there were only 5 ulama in Natal at that time. And today we have approximately 600 ulama in Natal.
Allahu Akbar.
And during the night, his residence, which was close to the CBD, used to serve as the offices of the Jamiatul Ulama. Then in 1955, Maulana was one of those 12 ulama in 1955 that formed the Jamiatul Ulama Natal. And Maulana was involved with the Jamiat from inception right up to his demise in 2003. He served the Jamiatul Ulama for a period of almost 48 years. Maulana was very instrumental in bringing the ulama together and bringing communities together, and his shop became a very focal point of the community and more particularly of the ulama itself. He was instrumental. One of the ways that he changed the landscape in Natal and in our country is that he made tremendous effort to send students to India, particularly to Deoband, Randir, Jalalabad, Gujarat, Madaris, to become ulama. And alhamdulillah, in the late 60s and the early 70s, a huge number of these students started returning to South Africa. And in the early 70s, there was now a sizable number of ulama, young ulama, and especially from the business communities as well, who were serving in Natal. So he's made a tremendous contribution to ilm, to knowledge in our country.
Respected listeners, we're speaking to Maulana Ahmad Muhammadi, the Amir of Jamiatul Ulama KZN, and we are discussing the life of Maulana Abdul Haq Umar Jisab, Rahmatullahi Alayh, which is most amazing. One point that I just like to bring in the time of the World War II and the time of the partition of Pakistan, obviously things were volatile and it was hostile and there were great threats, and those that are aware of the history would understand and appreciate that Maulana's name was the first on the volunteer list to stand and protect the August Institute of Darul Uloom Deoband, which is really amazing and which is really unique. In terms of his life, and we know from the time Maulana had come back, his services of deen. Imagine, respected listeners, an individual that spends 48 years in the service of an organization from the inception to the point where we see the great work being done by Jamiatul Ulama in the Durban area. And we're speaking to the Amir, who aptly is his nephew as well, speaking with regards to the personality of Maulana Abdul Haq Umar Ji, Rahmatullahi Alayh. Maulana Sahib, please do carry on.
It is also noteworthy that Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh was instrumental in forming or establishing the first Darul Uloom in South Africa, which is Darul Uloom Newcastle. And Hazrat Maulana was the chairman of Darul Uloom Newcastle from the inception in 1973 right up to his demise in 2003. For 30 years, he served as chairman of Darul Uloom Newcastle. He enjoyed a very close relationship with Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sema Rahmatullah Ali, who was the principal of Darul Uloom Newcastle from the inception of in 1973 right up to the demise of Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sema. Then Hazrat Maulana was a trustee or an advisor on various institutions, schools, masajids, etc. He was also instrumental in the formation of the Orient Islamic Educational Institute in 1959. And he served on the Religious Advisory Committee from 1959 right up till his death in 2003. Hazrat Maulana was involved in so many different projects. He was involved in a Qurbani project locally, and also in the Indo Park. Maulana was very much involved in the khidmat of his asatiza and also of the madaris in the Indo Park subcontinent. Maulana made tremendous efforts to raise funds and forward those funds for the different madaris, especially Darul Uloom Deoband and all the other madaris of ours in the Indo Park. Maulana was also instrumental in the formation of the first Eidgah or the first Musalla in Durban. And in 1962, he started the first Eidgah in the Orient Islamic School, the Eidgah which is still in existence today. And it is something very interesting to note that when there were a group of young people came to him and approached him, that we do not have a Eidgah in the Durban vicinity or the Durban region. And we would like you to lead the first Eidgah. So Maulana mentioned to them that go to my senior, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahman Ansari. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rahman Ansari Rahmatullah Alayhi was an ocean of knowledge. He was the Imam of the West Street Masjid. And he also enjoyed a very close relationship and association with Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Umarji. So when this group of youth went to Maulana Ansari Rahmatullah Alayhi, that we went to Maulana Umarji and he has referred us to you. So he said to them, go back to Maulana Umarji and tell him that whatever he feels is the right thing, I am behind him. So in this way, this was the muhabbat between the ulama, the unity between the ulama, the ittifaq between the ulama, and this was how he had established the first Eidgah, and he remained the imam of the Eidgah as well until his demise.
Subhanallah. Maulana, in terms of his personality, and we've heard so much from you already, being a nephew, let's perhaps ask you, put you on the spot a little and ask you, what was your interaction with Maulana, and how did you find Maulana as an individual in the private life of Maulana rather than his public life?
Maulana, if we look at Maulana's private life and his public life, it was the same.
Alhamdulillah,
we were very fortunate to have seen Maulana at very close range as family members, and especially as a nephew, to have seen his life at home. If really one looks at the life of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, and if one can sum it in one line, then we will say that his life was on the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect. He was in the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look at his qualities, the qualities, his akhlaq and character, his qualities, then if any quality that really stands out more than any other one will be the humility of Hazrat Maulana. He was truly a most humble human being that one could have ever met. And whoever met him or interacted with him, this was the one thing and one impression that will remain on one's mind, the humility of this person. He was a person who used to interact with the young and old, the educated, uneducated, the rich and the poor, and the business class, the working class, Muslims, non-Muslims, anyone who came into contact with him would have immediately developed a liking for Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh. He was such a humble person, and that he always put himself at the back, always put himself down, and always tried to elevate others. He always tried to bring people together. One businessman commented once, he says, I've heard a lot of ulama speak about simplicity. He says, but I saw one alim really practice it, says Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Umarji Rahmatullah Ali. His humility, his simplicity, his tolerance, his generosity, his hospitality, his amanadari, his istighna, each and every quality really stands out. His home was a place, was a markaz itself. One of his sons mentioned that in the initial years, he says that it was a very small house that we used to be living in, just out of the Durban CBD. And at times, he says, we used to get up at night because we could hear some arguments or some screaming, and we used to get up while sleeping in the lounge because of the lack of space, and we used to see my father and the other ulama mediating sometimes or arbitrating sometimes between two quarreling parties or between two parties. And this was how the khidmat that Hazrat Maulana lent to the community. If we look at his simplicity, he lived a very simple life. And his home was a very simple home. His clothing was extremely simple. Hazrat Maulana used to very often travel by public transport. He used to even use a municipal bus to travel from his home to work. This was his humility. If we look at his lifestyle, it was a very simple lifestyle. Generally, people go into business to make money. But Hazrat Maulana was a person who was in business to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And if once one of his sisters commented to him that, I think you are quite a public figure. I think you should be dressing very smart and you should be dressing in a certain color-coded fashion or manner, etc. So Hazrat Maulana very jovially remarked to her that I don't think my clothes are napak in any way.
Subhanallah.
This was his simplicity of dress. Very often he used to mention to us that we need to go back to simplicity and sadgi. And this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْبَذَادَةَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, that simplicity is from Iman. Hazrat Maulana's house used to have mehman very often. Guests used to come and go. In fact, any alim who came to our shores, there was one of three things that he did. Either he came to meet Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, that would have been his first port of call, coming to South Africa, coming to Durban or Natal. The second thing would be that either he stayed with Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali at his home, or the third thing would be is that he was hosted by Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. So there was one of three things that person either experienced. And there was hardly any person who hadn't eaten at the home of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. He used to, entertain a large number of people at his home with absolute simplicity and generosity of heart. This was his hospitality. It was amazing, his hospitality, that he would feed people, and he would feed them so warmly and so hospitably. It was an experience just to be his guest. As far as his tolerance goes, he was a person of extreme tolerance. Like we mentioned, he made the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, once a person mentioned to him that a certain alim with a different ideological background is saying some harsh words about you. So when Hazrat Maulana heard this, he says, Insha'Allah, I will increase my efforts to make more muhabbat with him from now on.
Allah.
This was his immediate reaction. Hazrat Maulana was also a victim of sihr, which affected him, which affected his family, and which affected his health as well. And when it was revealed to Maulana by many amils, etc., as to the people who had done sihr to him, he immediately forgave them. This was his nature, that he held no grudges in his life. And he used to always say that we must have a big heart, and we must forgive people their indiscretions, etc. Once Hazrat Maulana attended the janaza of a person who had committed suicide. So we know that it is not appropriate for a prominent person or a person of that caliber to attend the janaza of such a person. So one of his sons remarked to him that, why did you go to a janaza of a person who has committed suicide? It would have been better for you not to have attended that janaza. So Hazrat Maulana replied to his son that, who am I? I mean nothing. So what difference does it make that I went to a person's janaza? And then too, we must have husni zan of that person. We must have good thoughts of that person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive that person, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
So Maulana was a person who always made husni zan of people, looked for excuses to look for the good in people, and always to obliterate any bad, etc. Once there was one of the ulama mentioned that once he came to the Jamiat office, he was quite regular in the Jamiat office. The Jamiat offices were established formally in 1973 in the Durban CBD. From 1955 to 1973, there were no formal offices of the Jamiat. And in 1973, formal offices were established in the Durban CBD. And Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali was invited to come from the Midlands area and to occupy the position as a full-time office bearer of the Jamiat, and he spent 20 years in the khidmat of the Jamiat al-Ulama, Natal. So when Hazrat Maulana Umar Jisab used to come to the Jamiat office, he was so particular that one alim mentioned that once he had to use the telephone of the Jamiat. After using the telephone of the Jamiat, he was the president of the Jamiat at that time. After having used the telephone of the Jamiat, and at that time, the average cost of it had been about 50 cents. So Hazrat Maulana came to the finance office and he requested to pay for the call. And he gave 5 rand at that time, 5 rand for that one call that he made. So immediately the person told him, but the call couldn't have been more than 50 cents. It was a lot of money at that time. But Hazrat Maulana gave 5 rand just to be on the safe side. This was his ihtiyat. And this was his amanat dari, and this was his caution, especially with the use of public funds. Coming to Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali's marital life, Hazrat Maulana was a very jovial person, a person in whose company one will feel very comfortable and very easy. So once he was joking with us, and he mentioned to us that I got married lucky packet style. He says, I was informed in India via a letter. My father had mentioned to me that I've already got you proposed to your cousin, so I need you to come back to South Africa to get married. So Hazrat Maulana mentioned that I saw my bride after I got married.
Allah.
And it was a lucky packet marriage. And he says, Alhamdulillah, I heard this personally from Hazrat Maulana, that Alhamdulillah, I am married for over 50 years. Hazrat Maulana was married for approximately 52, 53 years. He says, I'm married for over 50 years. And Alhamdulillah, in 50 years of marriage, I haven't scolded my wife once.
Allah.
Neither have I raised my voice against my wife. Neither have I even looked with anger at my wife in over 50 years. This was the relationship between husband and wife. Maulana was an extremely affectionate husband. Very often he used to go into the kitchen to assist his wife, because his wife was responsible for catering sometimes for so many people in his home. Mehman used to come, mehman used to go, they used to stay in his house. And he often used to, very often when he used to go into the kitchen to assist his wife in the kitchen, his wife used to tell him to please leave the kitchen. So he used to say that this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is why he wants to assist. He used to also advise us that the status of our wives, how grateful we should be to our wives, that they in reality keep our respect and our izzat. He says, in my life, thousands of people have come to my home as my guests, but the person who has really kept my respect is my wife. She has been serving me for so many years. She is the person behind the scenes who is toiling in that kitchen. She is the person due to whose effort my respect is maintained in front of my guests. So how much of shafqat, how much of muhabbat, how much of affection one should be giving to one's wife. And he even asked, sometimes he used to ask very personal questions. For example, and this is something noteworthy for our listeners as well, he asked me one question once, that he says, Beta, who does your house belong to? So I found it something very out of the ordinary question like this. So I said, generally it belongs to the husband, the home. He says, I advise you that you must bequeath your house to your wife. So the reason for this is that after generally the husbands normally are the ones who go pass on first. He says, in this situation, the wife feels very secure. When the husband is not there and she owns the home, then she feels very secure that she has got a roof over her head. And children are more subservient, especially in that case. So this was just a lesson that we learned from the life of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali. Once, towards the latter part of his life, this unworthy servant, he says, I want to make some mashwara with you. So I thought to myself that mashwara with a junior, a small little, child like me, make mashwara. So I had a very close relationship with Maulana Rahmatullah Ali, Alhamdulillah, being, my uncle. So at times very informal, the questions that one could ask him and have discussions with him, etc. So he says that, I've received a proposal. Maulana was elderly, in his 70s, and our auntie had become sick as well, old age, and she was suffering from illness as well. He says that my wife is sick, and I've had a proposal, a request from a younger woman who wants to get married to me to look after me. So I was wondering that why is Maulana asking me this, and the lesson that was learned is that he's trying to teach a lesson. So I told him that it's a very good idea, because you need somebody to look after you. You are also sickly and you are ill, and our aunt is also ill, so perhaps it's a good idea. So Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali tested the answer, and then he replied that for 50 years my wife has been serving me. Now she has become old and she is sickly also. How would she feel if I have to do that? Yes, it is permissible. There's no doubt about it. But it will hurt her feelings and her sentiments. That now when I become old, that now he has taken a second wife. So that Maulana Rahmatullah Ali replied that I will not do that in consideration for her feelings and her sentiments. So this is a great lesson that he had imparted to us, the feelings and the sentiments of one's spouse. As far as another great quality of his was his punctuality. Hazrat Maulana was meticulous about punctuality. Once he had mentioned to me that I must come to fetch him for Salatul Jumu'ah. And he had said that I must come 45 minutes prior to the Adhan to fetch him, even though the venue of the Jumu'ah was just 10 minutes away. So I came half an hour before the Adhan to fetch him. The first thing that he got into the car after he made Salam, he says, "What time did I ask you to fetch me?" I said, "But there's ample time, we'll get there, and the Adhan, there'll still be time for the Adhan, and you'll be there comfortably." He says, "Better, I haven't been late in 50 years.
Sure.
This was the meticulous nature of his and habit, that he was such a punctual person, that he would be there well in advance. And then he explained to me that if there's any incident on the road, or there's some difficulty, there's traffic, or there's a puncture, or anything at all, we must not be late. This is the reason why I insist on such punctuality. Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was an extremely pious person. His son mentioned that he used to make so much of Tilawatul Quran that at times he used to recite up to 10 juz a day. This is in addition to running his business, in addition to all the other khidmat of deen, in addition to all attending to the community's affairs, but he used to sometimes manage 10 paras of Quran Sharif a day. And he was a person who should generally be in a state of wudu at all times. There are so many other qualities of Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi, and time is quite limited. There was, Maulana initially had Islahi Ta'alluq with his Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he received the special du'as of Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali passed away in 1957. After this period, Hazrat Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Ali took bayat to Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Jalalabadi Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Jalalabadi Rahmatullah Ali conferred khilafat upon him immediately after he had taken bayat. This was the respect that Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali had for Hazrat Maulana Umarji Sahab. In fact, once I acquired the courage to ask him a question, I said that I heard that Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali has only kissed 3 people in public, and you are one of those people he has kissed in public. His immediate reply was that it would have been better for the ground to open up and swallow me, because I'm such an unworthy person. Isa gande admi, this was the exact word he has used. That such an unworthy person like me, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali kissed in public on his forehead. So we can understand the respect that such luminaries like Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali had for Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Umarji Rahmatullah Ali. They were trying to skip a lot of detail in between. There were 3 du'as that he made in his lifetime after his return, towards the end of his life. And these 3 du'as have been mentioned. The 4 du'as that we mentioned earlier were the du'as that he made on his return from India to South Africa. Now there were 3 du'as that he made towards the end of his life. And one of these du'as is that, "Oh Allah, make my wife my hur in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
I do not want any hurs in Jannah. Let my wife be my hur in Jannah." The second dua he made said, "Oh Allah, I am not worthy of Jannah, but at least put me by the people, by the shoes of the people of Jannah. Leave me at the entrance of Jannah at least, even though I'm not worthy of Jannah, but give me this opportunity at least." And the third dua he made was, "Oh Allah, bless me with a library in Jannah."
Subhanallah.
Hazrat Maulana was a prolific reader. He had a huge library. And whenever you used to see him, he was reading a book, or he had stacks of books next to him. And he was a person who was very widely read. He used to read on every topic. In fact, one senior Sheikh al-Hadith from our country has mentioned that he doubts that there was any alim more learned in history than Hazrat Maulana Umarji rahmatullah alayh, especially the Indo-Pak history. He had a passion for history, facts and figures. He also had a very deep knowledge of politics and general affairs and current affairs. He was widely read. Hazrat Maulana used to read the Time magazine, Newsweek magazine, Reader's Digest, various types of literature apart from Dini literature. We will conclude. It's almost time, Maulana.
We have a few minutes left.
Okay. We will conclude on the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him into his mercy. Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi in November 2002 decided to go to India for treatment, homeopathic treatment to Bombay, as he was suffering from gangrene on his legs. And he had been battling this illness for a long period of time. At the age of 78, he traveled to India with his son, Maulana Mahmood. Incidentally, Maulana Mahmood is not well, and we make dua, and we request the listeners of Radio Islam to make dua for Maulana Mahmood, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him with afiyah.
Ameen.
Nonetheless, when Maulana had completed his treatment in India in January, he traveled to Khatur. And in Khatur, he had established or revived the institution of Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarvi rahmatullah alayhi, the person who he was named after and the ustad of his father. Today, alhamdulillah, Darul Ulum Haqqaniya is a fully fledged institution of knowledge and learning with hundreds of students there. Through the barakah and grace of Hazrat Maulana Umarji rahmatullah alayhi, this institution was revived in his lifetime. Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi served the deen of Allah till his last breath. On the 24th of January, on the day of Jumu'ah, Hazrat Maulana addressed the students and the asatiza of Darul Ulum Haqqaniya in Khatur, in Gujarat, India. And he had completed the discourse of the majlis with them, and he had returned to his room in the Mehman Khana of Darul Ulum Haqqaniya. He was preparing himself to deliver the Jumu'ah khutbah at this age.
Subhanallah.
And it so happened, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as he was proceeding for the Jumu'ah Salat and to deliver the Jumu'ah Khutbah itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him into his mercy at the time of the Adhan of Jumu'ah. And just 2 days prior to that, Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi mentioned to a guest that how lucky is that person who dies on the day of Jumu'ah. How fortunate is that person who passes away on the day of Jumu'ah. The fadilat of dying on the day of Jumu'ah. Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayhi breathed his last breath at the time of Salatul Jumu'ah, and his janazah salah was perhaps one of the largest janazahs that was performed in Gujarat. And it is so coincidental that he is buried next to his namesake and his father's ustad, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Hazarvi rahmatullah alayhi, in the old Qabristan of Khatur. So this was, in a very short period of time, the life, or some aspects of the life of Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Umarji rahmatullah alayhi, this illustrious life, well-spent life, and really the void that he has left behind, this void has not been filled. We still find that void in our lives as family members, and the ulama fraternity find that void among the ulama, that this was one figure who was not a figure only, but rather he was an institution in himself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all his sacrifices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the khidmat of deen and make it a means of his sawab-e-jariya, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his qabr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise him on the day of Qiyamah with the Anbiya, with the Siddiqeen, Salihin and Shuhada, inshallah.
Ameen. Mu'annak, Jazakallah for a fascinating and amazing program. Really, I was taken aback and always awestruck by the personality. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create much more like that in our country, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Mu'annana, for this opportunity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Respected listeners, that was the great life of Mullah Abdul Hakumadi rahmatullahi alayh, who has done some amazing service and khidmat for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it from myself, Ubaidullah Boja, on this Thursday evening from the Ulama Profile program. Jazakallah to Brother Osama Basuni for running this program, always so amazing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us, from myself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.